Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the JMO Podcast. I'm your host, Taylor Michaels, and our guest this episode, we've got Joel Nelson from Onyx Fish back on the show. Joel is one of our favorite reoccurring guests here on the podcast. We've had him on, Joel's been in the industry a long time in different capacities, and we had him on lots of times, even before he made the transition and now is working at Onyx Fish. We talk about, in this interview, a lot of the great fishing that he's already been doing out of a boat, catching crappies on different types of bodies of water, and it's just fun to hear Joel talk about one of his true passions in fishing crappies on a high level. And then we get an update on the Onyx Fish app, which is super cool and important. I think, you know, for the industry, this is going to be such a great resource as everybody gets the opportunity to use it here in the Midwest. Right now, we've got lake information in the states of Minnesota, Wisconsin, and Michigan. So if you're listening in any of those three states, or you plan to fish any of those three states anytime soon, I highly recommend you head to the website and subscribe to the app. You can use promo code JMO to save a little bit of money. So that said, let's get into it. We've got Joel Nelson. New fishing regulations on Mille Lacs Lake in Minnesota have walleye anglers excited to plan your next fishing vacation over there. Check out the lodging options over at Chalet on Mille Lacs. They have all you need and more. I'm talking about multiple private shorelines, including a back channel where you can safely park your boat overnight, a great feature you're not going to find everywhere on the lake. There's also a game room, high-speed Wi-Fi, you're minutes away from the casino and golf course, the indoor and outdoor amenities of the Chalet on Mille Lacs. Epitomize comfort and convenience with 5 bedrooms, 3 baths, that's 2 masters, a large kitchen, all the indoor amenities that are perfect for large groups or multiple families. This cabin comfortably sleeps 8. You can add more if you like. Read the reviews online from past guests on the website or book directly at chaletonmillelacs.com. That's chaletonmillelacs.com. That link is in the description of this podcast. Summit Fishing Equipment brings technology and innovation together to improve fishing equipment design and usability. Their forward-facing sonar shuttle transducer pole combos are designed to be used year-round. With just a few accessories you'll find on the website, you can mount the shuttle and transducer pole right in your boat, making the transition from ice season to open water incredibly simple and cost-effective. Check out everything they've got at summitfishingequipment.com. Use code SUMMIT10 at checkout for 10% off all orders online. That link is in the description of this podcast. Shields is a one-stop shop retailer with all your outdoor needs covered. Shields has all the top brands on inventory in every department and a knowledgeable staff known for great service. With over 30 locations across the country, you can find the nearest store by going online to shields.com. If you can't get to a store, rest assured all their best deals are online as well. So once again, head to shields.com for more detailed information. That link is in the description of this podcast. Well, let's get into it. What have you been doing any fishing lately?
I figured you'd ask, and the answer is yes, for sure, man. Like, it's weird. We've had a little bit of a funky spring here. It didn't, you know, we didn't have the gradual warm up. I'm in south central, southeastern Minnesota, and we didn't have like that really sweet crescendo into spring where it just slowly builds. It gets warmer, warmer, warmer. It's been a little yo-yo, a little herky jerky. So it's kind of messed with the fish a little bit, but I'm really lucky. I'm not too far from these Mississippi River backwaters, and the bite is usually right somewhere down there because it's a lot of shallow water, and those fish aren't going to retreat like back to basins like they can do in like natural lakes that we have. So I have been fishing colder days down on the river, and then some of the warmer stuff. I've spent a little time on Minnetonka, a little time on some Faribault area lakes, and yeah, the crappie bite's been pretty good, man. Pretty good.
You know, and I'm sure we've talked crappies, you know, specifically this time of year together before, but I love the topic. You know, like you're saying, you're kind of fishing, you're fishing a region there, but you're fishing, you know, different, a little diverse sampling of water. I'm curious, you know, we talk a lot of walleyes on here, and, you know, you hear these phrases sometimes like a walleye's a walleye anywhere. You know, like there's just like some basic rules you can live by. But then, you know, situationally, we're always talking about adjustments and the fine details. With crappies, I've probably generalized crappies too much. So I'm kind of curious, like, you know, looking at the patterns and the different bites that you've been on this year, the different weather days, you know, what are some of the fun talkers in that conversation of like, how much of a crappie is a crappie anywhere, like this time of year when it comes to how you find them and how you catch them? And what are some of the fine details situationally this year that you feel like have been some adjustments? I kind of want to have a little balanced conversation about spring crappies with you, man. Where should we start?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I tell you, I try to break it down in the simplest terms possible when it comes to crappies. And most of the natural lakes that I fish, most of the area lakes in Minnesota for crappies, I start with where they winter. And I'm lucky in that a lot of these lakes I've fished before, but even where I haven't, you know, you can these days look on aerial photography even and see where some of the fish houses have been. But I literally start where I think they are overwintering. And I work my way in a transect directly towards the closest shoreline that has good cover, hopefully is north facing or has a tiny little teardrop shaped bay off and away from that basin. And I draw a straight line between those areas. And literally, if it's on the front end of spring and it's colder like it was earlier, I start in the depths, man. I start where those fish were during ice. And they can be caught very well, I won't say easily always, but they can be caught well out in open water that way. But it's a little more like ice fishing, right? Like you're dropping straight below the boat, you're using your fish finder like you would a Markham or a Vexilar, right? Like you're ice fishing for those fish in open water. And then I had a medium bite where fish were like transitioning a little bit in that Minnetonka area, Lake Minnetonka. At the time I was fishing it, they weren't yet to the shallows to put on, you know, kind of that spawning look. They were mid-level depths, 7 to 10 feet. And you had to do things a little bit different. It was clear enough you had to stay back from them and throw bobbers with some jigs and plastics. And then I've already had shallow water bites that are more indicative of spawning type conditions on the backwaters. And on the cold days, I had to use minnows. And on the warmer days, we were using jigs and plastics and keeping that bobber and that bait moving a little bit. But fish were pushed up against the bank near brush. So I don't, you know, I do think that a crappie is a crappie is a crappie, but situationally where you fish them, it can be a different ball game every different lake you try. So I like finding new lakes, having old lakes, revisiting old favorites, but challenging myself on new ones all the time to fish that deep, medium, and shallow bite.
If you ice fish crappies, you know, so many of us are, you know, dedicate a lot of time to that. You know, we talk about, okay, where they wintered and then drawing a line to like where they're going to spawn. But we have all these conversations about, you know, how we find crappies in shallow weeds. We find them in the winter in a lot of different places, but there's kind of a trump card getting towards this time of year where all the different patterns that we try to touch on in the winter. Like if you debate like where the best crappie fishing is in the winter in terms of a shallow, a weed or a basin bite or whatever, they kind of all intersect, right? This time of year.
For sure.
So you know, like finding crappie or, you know, finding them in that way, it's like you can find a lot of crappies sometimes where they are all coming together. But it's a conversation. We could go down so many rabbit holes is what I'm thinking about right now. It's like what you're talking about. Sure. We can talk, what does dirty water do? What does lakes that are highly pressured do to what you got to, you know, decisions you got to make, you know, like all these things that factor in, you know, forage base. And, you know, like there's a ton of rabbit holes we could go down. And so I kind of want to do that. Yeah,
time of day is a big one for me because, like, I have visited water bodies in the morning, and it feels warmish, and the water temps are in that high 40s, approaching 50-something, and I'll literally hit the same lake the next day, but in the afternoon, the water temps are 3, 4, 5 degrees warmer, and the fish's mood is totally different. 2 years ago, I ran into a buddy at a landing, and he just said, yeah, man, I checked this North Bay and the West End. I went down that line of docks on the south, and it was rough, man. I can see them, but they're not eating. Like, something's off. And I literally fished around an hour or two, and they turned on. And it was just time of day. It was warming water. It was sunshine. Like, it literally made all the difference. So I'm a big fan of telling people, like, don't write these places off until you've given it the best crack during the best time, right?
Yeah. Like, there's some constants of, like, you know, just that pattern of how or where they're going to be when you find them. But yeah, then there's definitely, it's a detail-oriented deal to, like, really, really get the job done. And that's, I think that's a fun one, especially when you're exploring new water, you know? I mean, this is that time of year, like, any time of year, literally any day of the year, I would argue, like, that's one of my favorite things is, like, just every time I go out, a certain element of what I'm trying to, my goals or what I'm trying to accomplish should be, like, you know, sort of discovering something new, learning something new. And for me, like, the biggest thing I can do is just go to a brand new body of water. I just think that's so fun because I'm going to run into some of these things. Like, I'm going to run into, if I'm super, like, if my home body of water is so specific to, like, you know, I'm fishing a zebra mussel lake and there's a, like, a really distinct basin and, you know, and you talk about, you know, the forage and like what I can catch them on. It's like I have, when I go to a new place, it forces me to learn a little bit. It forces me to make a few adjustments that I'm not really used to. So I'm growing as an angler. But then, you know, realistically, I probably use lures maybe that I'm not even used to. And I just got to, like, go through that whole thought process to be really, really fishy. So, yeah, dude, I love that conversation. And, like, you know, you're backwaters. You're a Mississippi River guy, you know, talking about those backwaters. I feel like that's kind of a different, that's, like, super different to anybody that has, like, a, you know, any inland lake, you know, home body of water or whatever. But it's super interesting because, man, there's a lot of big crappies over there.
Oh, totally. Yeah, those river crappies. I mean, some of them can even switch to young of the year shad in previous years and things like that. Like, they can get big quick. And they are predators at that size, right? Like, down there is when minnows can really make a difference or bigger profile baits. I my rule of thumb is when it's cold and uncomfortable to use minnows is normally when you should be using minnows. And other than that, when it gets warmer, those backwaters fish, I challenge them a little bit. Like, we're using larger plastics a lot, not just long, but, like, bigger profile, bulked up, beefed up a little bit. And I tell you, when you're using a bait like that, the other thing I've been learning in the past few years a lot more is fishing with floats, but when to keep it still and when to keep it moving. And with those plastics, keeping it moving, it really kind of ignites that predatory instinct of a crappie and makes it chase a little bit. And sometimes we won't get bit till right next to the boat. And that's kind of like that musky thing or even walleyes or smallmouth that'll track baits or whatever. Crappies do the same thing. And as you're getting ready to pull that thing away from it, it says, all right, last chance. I'm going to go grab it.
Yeah. Is there something to that? I've listened to some really high level bass guys talk about that. And even the walleye guys. But like, there's something to that where they're tracking that bait, but it isn't until it starts rising in the water column when we're getting close to the boat that we get bit. It's like, how do you achieve that? But, like, maybe a little bit away from the boat if you're fishing gin clear water and, you know, getting too close to the boat maybe is, like, not as per, there's, like, a diminishing return there, but you sort for of sure realize through the, you know, through the process that, okay, I've gotten a couple bites, but I still don't feel like I've got this, like, super dialed. But sometimes it is, like, raising that fish. But how do you do that, you know, if you've got, you know, a clip-on bobber, but then you've got that slip bobber? You know, I mean, talk to me a little bit about your setup and how you can kind of be flexible in those situations where the details matter.
Yeah, no, you bet. Well, first and foremost, forward-facing sonar has really shown us those things, right? If you ever had any questions about fish that, you know, are they tracking my bait or how long do they track it for? Or, I mean, forward-facing sonar shows us all the time that these fish will trail it for a good period of time. And then, like you said, either the bait's rising, it gets more erratic, the fish feels like it's getting away. Those can be triggers to the strike. But my setup, a lot of times, I break it down into two parts. I just for my own, you know, edification and keeping it simple, I love a clip-on spring pencil style float. Those bobbers for me, they just work so well. If you're fishing tungsten, it stands that thing up real quick right away. If you're set too deep, the thing never stands up. it really does a great job of detecting light bites or up hits, because any kind of an up hit, if the crappie grabs it, that thing tips over on its side or starts to nod to the side a little bit, you know you got a fish. Or if a fish grabs it and swims horizontally with it, you can see it starting to trail, because those bobbers do dive a little bit when the bait's moving or when you're pulling it. And when you're pulling it, that can be a bad thing, right? Like, if you're trying to keep that bait moving with those kinds of bobbers, it dives a little bit like a crankbait. And then, especially with tungsten, it doesn't ride up high over that crappie. And I, you know, you've seen it too, where those crappies like to feed up at like a 45. They don't feed down as well, with just a couple of exceptions. But that's when you can switch to those double clip kind of, it looks like an egg shaped bobber. And those double clip egg shaped bobbers, Northland makes a good one called the light bite casting float. That thing, when you pull that thing and you're trying to keep it moving for the crappies, it doesn't dive like a pencil style spring float will. So if I'm keeping the bait moving, I will switch to a different kind of float to make sure that that bait rides up high over those crappies' heads as I'm keeping it moving and kind of dances in front of them, which is really critical with plastic, I think. So that's kind of my 1-2 setup, depending on whether I'm trying to keep it still and stationary or whether I'm trying to keep it moving and keep them kind of chasing a little bit.
Like, how meaningful or just how much confidence do you feel like, you know, the addition and the popularity of some of these tungsten designs has really sort of been a confidence builder for you?
Well, tungsten, I think of it in a couple ways. You know, the obvious and easy one is that this bait can be smaller and still heavy. And that's a no-brainer. Like, everybody gets that concept about tungsten. But sometimes tungsten can hurt you, too. Like, we were fishing in like 3 feet of water in Wisconsin here a couple weeks ago, and I was using tungsten, and that bait was rocketing past the fish. And then, like I said, I was trying to swim with that bobber, and that bait just stayed low. It stayed deep. And I guess I can adjust the bobber upward, but the rate of fall was so quick, and those fish, yeah, they weren't very tuned up, right? Like, they were just kind of swimming around in these weed clumps. They just weren't on. And sometimes tungsten can be a hindrance. Then that's when I'll go to lead. But where tungsten really shines for me is once we get out past 4 feet of water, and especially those early bites. Like, if we were talking about ice fishing for open water for crappies, like vertical jigging right below the boat, locking in on electronics after you find them and hovering over those fish, tungsten is amazing. Like, oh my God, what a lifesaver, right? Like, it's able to detect those bites because it is a harder metal. And I feel like I have just a little bit more feel even in open water with that jig, and it gets there quick. It stays in front of the fish. I have way more control. I'm not waiting 4 or 5 seconds for this thing to drop down to him. Like, it gets down fast. And then the mid-level bites, it's sweet too, because a little bit of extra weight, even on like a spring float, but especially on a slip bobber, it casts well, it descends well on a slip bobber. You know, it pulls that line, even if you forgot to change the line over the last year, you got some curly Q going on. Like, it plummets that bait through that bobber up to the stop. And yeah, it's just a really tight, sharp setup. And now that, you know, they're detailing tungsten as well as they have been, there's better colors. There is fly options that have a little bit of hair and a little bit of bugginess to them. Like, it's just better than ever before. So it's really awesome to have the choice.
Yeah. Yeah. It makes you more bitey in certain situations, but it also just sort of helps you with some of those efficiencies, you know, or it sort of masks, yeah, like you say, if you don't change line or maybe you're just using kind of a heavier line for some reason, maybe that's like a preference or an availability that you have. Like, yeah, I think that those are really, really good points, that in certain situations it has a lot to do with getting bites, fall rate, yeah. things like that.
Totally.
But then at the same time, it's one of those things that just gives you a little bit of forgiveness in the rest of your setup. And I think people can appreciate that because we don't all want to have to go out and buy a whole new lineup of rods and line and reels and everything just to fish crappies. So many people aren't going to do that, right? So many people are going to just try to... But man, yeah, I think that there's a lot to that. But it's not for everything. That's also a great point. And the fall rate, I think that's a fun point to talk about too. Because if anybody's ever been in the boat where it's two or three guys and you get on one of these bites or you're just breaking it down, and this can be your home body of water, this can be, you know, the boys are out on an adventure trying to, you know, discover something new, but somebody always gets the hot hand. You know,
totally.
You know, and you're all purposely, right? Like anybody that's fishy, you're purposely using something a little different. Sometimes it's just purely color, but sometimes we're all intentionally using a different size. We're trying to break it down. We're trying to figure out what they
totally
want, and hopefully somebody lands on it. But what could that be? I think fall rate is a big one, especially in clear water, or maybe you have a different opinion, but that fall rate one is a good discussion. And then it's like, well, what do you do? Maybe you don't have all the tackle in the world in your boat. There's always little things you can do. Maybe bulk up your bait. Maybe, you know, if you're using, a tungsten jig and you've got crappie minnows, but you realize that the guy that's putting on the really small minnows isn't catching as many as the guy using the big ones. Sometimes that's a fall rate deal. I kind of want to sit on that conversation for a little bit and just talk about maybe like bait modification and just really paying attention to that.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, I think especially when you talk about plastics, it can make a big difference in fall rate, and it can really be this tungsten equalizer. So like some of the new TPE style plastics, Northland's got some now called Pan Candy. You know, the Z-Man stuff's been around a while. That stuff is a little more neutral buoyancy, and it tends to dance in the water a little bit. And I actually like it with tungsten better than I do with lead because you get a little more kick. But you can upsize some of these plastics provided the crappies aren't going to object, right? As long as it's not too big and bulky. And it can really slow the fall rate for you and help you out. And especially when you're retrieving and trying to keep that bobber moving, like it just dances better with certain plastic. Now, there's other times where you do want to get deep and you do want to still use plastic and you want to fish that thing on a tight tether because you're trying to get to fish that are more positioned on the bottom. And that's especially gills, but like that's when I move away from the TPE style plastics and I fish just some of the general standard plastics of old because the fall rate on that stuff is a little quicker. It's not quite the same. And you brought up this idea of like some buddies doing things different. And I tell you what, it reminds me, I fish with this farmer in Wisconsin a fair amount, and he is such a fishing badass, but he barely rubs two nickels together and has old stuff, and it's awesome. He outfishes me somewhat regularly. He is so dialed, and it's not about the equipment he uses. It's not about and like I share some really nice stuff with him, and he loves it, but like that's not what gets him bit. He's doing something different. So I love getting outfished by whoever. Doesn't affect my ego. I'm learning from – you know, a lot of times it happens where it's just luck or coincidence, but more often something is different. The way they're retrieving it, the color, like you said, smaller minnows, larger, the fall rate, the profile size of what they're using, something's different. And like when you can get your butt kicked out there and learn from why, those are wrinkles that you will always remember. Man, I remember that time my buddy Flip, he just totally outpaced me all day long. And then you finally crack the code as to why, and you're a better angler because of it.
Summit Fishing Equipment brings technology and innovation together to improve fishing equipment design and usability. Their forward-facing sonar shuttle transducer pole combos are designed to be used year-round. With just a few accessories you'll find on the website, you can mount the shuttle and transducer pole right in your boat, making the transition from ice season to open water incredibly simple and cost-effective. Check out everything they've got at summitfishingequipment.com. Use code SUMMIT10 at checkout for 10% off all orders online. That link is in the description of this podcast. Shields is a one-stop shop retailer with all your outdoor needs covered. Shields has all the top brands on inventory in every department and a knowledgeable staff known for great service. With over 30 locations across the country, you can find the nearest store by going online to shields.com. If you can't get to a store, rest assured all their best deals are online as well. So once again, head to shields.com for more detailed information. That link is in the description of this podcast. New fishing regulations on Mille Lacs Lake in Minnesota have walleye anglers excited to plan your next fishing vacation over there. Check out the lodging options over at Chalet on Mille Lacs. They have all you need and more. I'm talking about multiple private shorelines, including a back channel where you can safely park your boat overnight, a great feature you're not going to find everywhere on the lake. There's also a game room, high-speed Wi-Fi, you're minutes away from the casino and golf course. The indoor and outdoor amenities of the Chalet on Mille Lacs epitomize comfort and convenience with 5 bedrooms, 3 baths, that's 2 masters, a large kitchen, all the indoor amenities that are perfect for large groups or multiple families. This cabin comfortably sleeps 8. You can add more if you like. Read the reviews online from past guests on the website or book directly at chaletonmillelacs.com. That's chaletonmillelacs.com. That link is in the description of this podcast. You know, that stuff is really, you know what drives me, like I said before, is like trying something new all the time. That stuff happens on my home body of water all the time, but definitely I'm more engaged in that mindset when we're on new water, like finding a new place. Cause like, yeah, you know what I mean? Cause like you're just inherently there to learn versus you're on your home body of water where you're just sort of, you know, secretly or, you know, subconsciously, we're all trying to kind of validate what we think we already know. You know what I mean? But
yeah, like, right.
But you know, so I talk about that all the time. Like, you know, just sometimes what you need to do is just go fish a part of your home lake that you've never been on before. Even if you've always just said that you know where all the good spots are, that's not a good spot. Go test out some new water, you know, or go look at something new. You never know what you're gonna find. It also just puts you in a good mindset where you're more objective about things, and you know, you're just sort of open eyes better. But it definitely, when you're on a brand new body of water, you know, even if it's 5 miles down the road, just a lake you've just never put your boat in on, or it's a destination, like it just inherently puts you in a more open-eyed mindset to it, for sure. Now, the live bait thing, I don't want to get off that topic too quick because, like, I'm just sort of curious, do you just, you know, with your tungsten or lead, with your jigs and your bobber setups that we're talking about, like, when you think it's going to be a live bait deal, do you just pull the plastic off that same setup and just thread a minnow on? Are you kind of picky about your minnow setups in any kind of a way? And I'm just sort of curious, if you hook the minnow to keep it alive, is that kind of the action that you're looking for? Do you ever just hook it through the head and then you're still working the jig? I'm just sort of curious about your live bait setup.
My live bait setups are kind of determined by where I fish. Now, in those backwater scenarios, you got gills mixed in, but more often you got perch mixed in too. And man, who doesn't love catching jumbo perch on the backwaters mixed in with crappies? My God, it's like a dream bite, right? But I do have to then head hook those minnows because, you know, the perch are voracious, the crappies are snapping. And if you were to try to live hook those things, you'd just be rebaiting constantly all day, every day. And you do have to adjust the way you fish it a little bit. You do need to keep it popping a little bit more than if you would say like dorsal hook it or tail hook it and let it just free swim. You know, in that situation, you want to keep it stationary, let the minnow do more of the work. But in this situation, you're doing the work because a lot of times that minnow is dead, but it's extra enticement. Now, I'll run two ways, and I love fishing with my boys because they're my little lab rats in some ways.
Right on.
I feel bad, but like they're running experiments for me. They don't even know. And I'll run one clean on the same color jig head. And then I'll run one on a fly type setup where it's a tungsten fly, flat fry jig. And it'll have just a little bit of hair to it, a little bit more body. And I want to see what those crappies like. And in that process, I've actually encountered days where they will eat not plain jig heads, but the dressed jig heads, like something with a little bit of hair on it, and they don't need a minnow. For whatever reason, some places, some days, I tend to find that especially in clearer water where they like just a little bit of hair, a little bit of fur, and that's all they need. You keep that bouncing just a little bit, they don't need a minnow, even if it's cold. So I feel like running those experiments can sometimes not just teach you what's working, but lead you down other paths to explore more or further down those rabbit holes. And I guess I never would have thought of using just a plain Roadrunner type marabou looking bait or a tungsten with a little bit of hair and not considering tipping it with something. But in the springtime, there are definitely crappie bites and days in clear water that I have found where that's actually preferred to running live bait or tipping it with soft plastics.
Yeah, and this is probably a repeat comment, but definitely when the bite is on, you want to be as efficient as possible. So if they're eating, you know, anything, you know, that, like, take that with a grain of salt. If they're eating a lot of different things,
yeah,
you know, like, you pick the, definitely just, so if everybody's using something different and everybody's catching, you'll know what the most efficient bait or presentation is by the end of the day between the three or four of you, you know, by who actually catches the most. But if you're all catching them every cast, the guy that's making more casts, right? So, like,
yeah,
having those little realizations can just be phenomenal, both on a tough bite and when you're just crushing them.
For sure.
You know, what else? What else in the spring crappie conversation do you feel like is going to be, is just a fun talker this year or just this time of year? Maybe it's general, maybe it's specific to this year.
I think, you know, we've danced around it a little bit, but the Find New Lakes thing, like, you know, I work with Onyx Fish and fisheries data and that kind of thing. Like, that's been a big, big part of my history, whether it's been going back and actually, you know, back in the day, sending letters to the DNR and getting them to send me hard copy reports of my nearby lakes and pouring through pages and pages of data to try and say, hey, this looks like a pretty good crappie lake. But as I've matured as an angler and gotten better and more than anything, fished with really talented anglers, getting to fish with guys like Tony Roach or getting to fish with some of the best of the best throughout the Midwest and some of the TV stuff we've done over the years, you come to learn that these guys aren't afraid of new water. And not only are they not afraid of new water, like, they actually seek it out. Like, they understand that, whether you want to call it lake cycling, I don't know if that's the appropriate term, but, like, your hot bite, don't count on that being there tomorrow. It just, like, so much is changing these days, especially with aquatic invasives and zebra mussels and curly leaf pondweed down here in the South. Like, we've seen our weed beds change dramatically and completely. And up north, some of the zebra lakes, like, they've gotten way clearer and old timey bites are there no more. But that's the beauty of always knowing more about where you're going to be fishing and finding different places to fish, because I really think that's the great equalizer. I think the best anglers that I know, yeah, they're not just not afraid of new waters. They seek it out. They look to find new bites constantly. So yeah, you ask Tony Roach how he's always on the fish. Well, he's always fishing different places. He's always farming up new bites. And I think it's key. I really do.
Getting into the industry, one thing that really, really was impactful to me, and it was like speaking a foreign language. It took me years to sort of understand where it came from. But some of the best anglers I know that live in areas like that where, you know, like, you look at Minnesota, Wisconsin, even, you know, everywhere. You wake up, you're looking at the forecast. You had an idea what the conditions are going to be in the morning. You wake up, you sort of verify it. You look up in the sky, you know what, you know if it's going to be cloudy or if it's going to be windy, the wind direction, you know maybe what species you're going to go after. These guys won't pick a lake until they wake up in the morning and just breathe the air and feel the conditions.
Yeah.
Because people that have experience on different lakes, people that seek that out, people that are constantly fishing new water on purpose with intention and learning, will reach a level where they can do that. Guys like Tony can literally just wait till tomorrow to decide where he's going to go fish crappies. And he knows 15 lakes that are probably lights out, but he knows based on the conditions of the day. And sometimes those conditions change. He picks a lake for the morning, and at 11 o'clock, there's a wind switch and the cloud comes over, and then he wants to change water. And it's like, how, like, to me, it's just like, dude, he can read those conditions like it's the Matrix.
Yeah.
And right. It's like, how does one get to that level, or even get to stages of that level, is that point right there. You need to become obsessed with fishing new water all the time, and just doing it from a learned, you know, perspective, like get there, learn as much as you can. And it falls like, so you're, that's kind of how you cash in. I feel like that's how you can best cash in on memories. Like we always talk about don't fish memories, but you can, I feel like you can cash in on memories, even going back to your childhood when you're collecting it in that level of data point. Does that make any sense? I think it's so, it's inspiring. It's motivating.
It is. Oh, 100%. And, you know, you may not be like Jason Mitchell or Tony Roach. You may not be to that level. But even if you are, like, I talked to Tony the other day, and, like, he's using the app to get to new lakes, right? He knows a lot of them, and he looks and double checks on the survey stuff in there. But, like, he's always navigating some forlorn body to the next in the middle of nowhere, and it's curvy, and he's got to meet up with clients. And so, like, he's using driving directions to get to the ramp. And I talked to Jason a little bit about it, too. And, you know, like I said, even if you're not to the level of a Tony Roach or a Jason Mitchell, well, that's fine. They learn just like the rest of us. And maybe for you, the quest is to find five new bodies of water within 30 minutes of home that are awesome alternatives to whatever else you've been doing. Because maybe your bites have gone stale, or maybe they're good, but they're only good for a week or two. Like, I hear this all the time. Like, well, I can only catch crappies in my lake from, like, you know, last week in April and the first week of May. And they only fish then. And my response is always like, well, why wouldn't you just go to other lakes and keep the bite going all spring long, you know? So I really think no matter what stage you are at as an angler, information is power. And why wouldn't you want more of it and go out and exercise that, right?
Yeah, just the confidence for me. And I'm like a consumer, so I like looking for examples to follow. You know, like I'm a consumer. I don't mind saying that, you know, like, and I can see this stuff. I'm on social media. When you guys came out with the app, and we talked about it, when you guys kind of, you know, you came out and it was in Minnesota and then you added Wisconsin, but like, and I think we talked about it a little bit, but like, you know, some of the top end guys that got it right away, like nobody that was on a high level got the information on that app and used it to like validate their home body of water. Everybody immediately leveraged for new water. Everybody was like, okay, what have I been missing? Right? Like where's the adventure in all of this? Like the example of Will Papenfuss, like winning the online tournament, literally fishing brand new water, like insanity. It's that stuff is really, really, really inspiring. And to think that some of these guys have fished, you know, you think they fish so much, they fished every lake from here to Timbuktu. And now they have this resource and it's immediately putting them on new water all the time. And, like that's a powerful deal.
And also new fish, like, these also another theme, right? Like the best anglers I know, they're awesome multi-species anglers. They're not just great at walleye fishing. And like, that's an unsung thing that most people wouldn't know maybe about Mitchell or Roach or some of these guys. Like they're walleye studs. They're awesome at it, but those guys catch panfish. Like you can't imagine. Yeah. And they're awesome smallmouth anglers. And you know what? Like, if they had to go catch a trophy pike, I wouldn't bet against them. You know, I mean, like I fish saltwater whenever I can, if I'm traveling, you know, or I go on a family vacation. I think that the more varied your fishing repertoire, the better an angler you're going to be. So like this app too is about finding new water. Yeah. And having the confidence to get to these places, but it's also about rounding yourself out and learning about plan Bs, you know, like opportunities where you're up for walleye opener And man, how many times has an awesome crappie bite saved a walleye opener? Like that happens everywhere, every time, every year.
Oh yeah. No, 100%. That's probably the biggest impact that it's had for me. Like going back home where I grew up and around Pelican Rapids and all the lakes in Otter Tail County, where I want to fish new water. Like I didn't fish enough, you know, different lakes when I grew up. So I'm obsessing over that now, like anywhere I go, but especially when I go home, I'm so excited to go home because there's within 25 minutes of, you know, the home farm, I can be on so much good water, but I didn't know how good it was. That was my big blind spot. That was this massive blind spot for me that I had to go, if I wanted to catch fish and have fun, I kind of had to go back, you know, to the memory deal, and that's all fine. That's fine. Like it's actually, the other thing that I obsess over with the information, how easy the information is on the app is that I love looking at all the lakes that I feel like I know more about.
Totally.
Then I'm just like, I'm filling in the gaps and putting the puzzle together even better.
It will make you better. That's kind of the unsung part of the app is like, it'll make you better on your home waters too. Like don't sleep on that.
I'm so much more confident that like, if I'm not, I don't think I've been catching the class of fish. I've been satisfied with what I've been catching on my home body of water, but I'm definitely learning through the DNR data that I need to keep looking on my home body of water. That's just one of them. But definitely the plan B thing that you brought up is like, I feel like I reached a new level of angling skill when I have the confidence to like have a great plan A, even if I have like my family with, because this happened this year. It's like I go to a lake. I want to go to a new lake. I'm confident that I can go to a new lake and break it down at least a little bit and get on a bite, especially when I have the app that can tell me like the abundance is high, because that helps.
Yeah.
I'm probably going to run into the target species when I get there if I know the abundance is high, which I wouldn't have known
for sure.
Before. You get there. Like I get there this year, and the one thing that I don't care to do when I have my family is like go to a lake and see that it looks like a derby is going on out there. And it's like, okay, they found the same information I did, or they already knew it. And okay, fair enough. But this lake is just, it's just sieved out and everybody's out there on a Saturday. That's great. Like it doesn't give me poopy pants anymore, because what I can do with this app, and I did this winter with my family, is like, and I can just tell them we're good, we don't have to deal with this, I have plan B. Like I have another lake that is literally minutes down the road that has basically the equivalent, you know, outlook, and I know where the landing is, and I don't even know off the top of my head what the name of the lake is. Like I know that's how little I know it and how little experience I have right there in that block of lakes, but it's like I memorized the information. So it's like, this is my plan B lake, and it's like I could rattle off all the stats of it because that's what I, you know, looked into. And then you get over there, and yeah, for whatever reason, it's like a little bit, like it's a couple miles off the beaten path, and had a blast, and nobody was ever within 400 yards of us. And we got on just a fun bite for the family to be on, bluegills and crappies. And I feel like there was probably a lot of people on the first lake. They probably would have wanted a plan B. They probably didn't love
for
being
sure.
In and around 1,000 people.
Oh, yeah.
So what's the status update of the app? Where are you guys at with this? You know, and we can talk about, you guys just did the launch and everything. So, you added Michigan and give us a little status update and sort of a forecast for what the next few months is looking like.
Oh, for sure, man. You bet. Yeah. It's now live. It is a paid product as we continue to add more features and more states. The good news is that, you know, it's Midwest wide and you're going to pay once. And we're just going to keep adding data. We're going to keep adding states. I can tell you that there is a wonderful bordering water to the state of Minnesota that you are very familiar with that is coming into the app in the next month. I can't tell you which one, but I think you could guess. And I think it's going to make you guys really excited. I think it's going to make a lot of people really excited, because as anglers, we like to travel to these different places. And getting new states, it's going to unlock some new opportunities and help us see things in ways we just haven't been able to before. And right now the app is $34.99. That's an annual price, an annual fee. But the cool part for JMO podcast listeners, for everybody that's within this audience, you get a 20% discount. All you got to do is go onto our website, onxfish.com. Very simple, onxfish.com. And go ahead and you can either start a 7-day trial, check it out for free. No commitment needed there. Or if you know you like the app and you really want to go there and figure it out and learn more, you got to start at the website, again, onxfish.com, and type in a promo code JMO, and you get 20% off. So literally that's the only sale we're running on this thing right now. We're the new kid on the block. And so if you're looking for 20% off on the app, that's a great way to do it. So once you've got a login, you got everything set up on the website, you just download the app on iPhone and you're ready to rip. Or you can keep using it on the web as well, which is nice on the big screen sometimes. You just kind of sit back, either even a laptop in your lap at night, put the Twins game on or watch some TV and start dreaming, right? Pulling some lakes up and checking stuff out. I it's a rabbit hole for me. I gotta know when to stop myself sometimes.
Man, it's a super fun talker. I'm so stoked for this. Having you on when you made that transition, that was such a fun conversation for me, just to know you in the industry, you know, beforehand, and see where that's come for you is like, I just think it's the coolest that we get to talk about this. And that I think you're spot on. This is going to continue to be a really groundbreaking resource. We're lucky here in the Midwest to have this a new thing, for sure, man, for sure. And you guys are adding new states. Like, what's the status of that, or what's sort of like the outlook? Is that something we can talk about?
Yeah, for sure. The plan is to fill out the rest of the Midwest in short order. So we're literally working to, within the next year or two, have all 12 Midwest states. And on top of that, we're going to look to expand elsewhere. And we're unsure what that looks like at the moment. Obviously, the Mid-South fishes a heck of a lot different than the Midwest. So we'll need to work on some feature sets for bass anglers, start thinking about how we want to attack the West as well as the Northeast, which does fish a little bit more similar to the Midwest. So, yeah, we're still developing those plans as we go, but definitely seek to make this a national product. And as far as the Midwest is concerned, you know, we started here for a reason. Minnesota, the Dakotas, Wisconsin, Michigan, Illinois, these are some of the fishiest states you could ever hope to be in. And on top of that, there's just a ton of licensed anglers, and it shows kind of the commitment to the culture, to the sport, to the fact that this is more than just something dads, brothers, husbands, wives, daughters do here and there on their own. It's something they all do together. This is a family thing. It's kind of woven into our heritage around here. And that's not always true for a lot of other states. And plus, you know, we have an embarrassment of riches in many respects. We have so many lakes, it can be kind of intimidating to know which one to go to. And it's hard. I mean, everybody loves seeing those little brown signs, the public water access signs. Like, it's like, yes, like I've made it here. I made it to the landing. But man, how many times have you been lost on the way to a landing? My God, it happened all the time. Just knowing where these things are is worth the price of admission for a lot of people. The weather app. A lot of people don't know how good the weather feature is inside of Onyx Fish. Like, literally all the majors, minors, all the moon phases, barometric pressure, plus barometric pressure forecasting, precip map, like all this stuff is stacked in there. Not to mention all the public private landowner values, like just like you're used to seeing it in Hunt, that's available in Fish too. Anywhere near water, we've got all those land boundaries. So you can find sneaky ways into water that's otherwise private. You know, you just got to find public touching it. And so there's so much inside this app that I think a lot of people would really enjoy outside of the main value prop, which is find new water and have the confidence to get there. So like I think once people dig in, like they may not understand it at first, but the more buttons they start clicking, and we definitely see this in the user stats in the background, like it really is this ramp up effect. Like people, as they're learning it, really start to grasp, like, holy cow, like there's a lot going on in here.
When you make a waypoint on Onyx, you don't necessarily have to like specify that you don't want other people to see it. I mean, it's like protected. Like with other apps, other older style phishing apps, it's like if you made a waypoint, it was like they were trying to make that stuff so public, like people would just be, wouldn't even want to touch it. Like you'd just be scared other people are going to see, be able to see it if they come on that lake, man. But like this is not built that way.
No, this is not crowdsourced data. This isn't like a social platform like some of the other phishing apps. Your data is your data alone. It will never get shared. It will never be seen. It will never be used unless you choose to share it with somebody else. And it's really as simple as that. And you know what? Our app isn't just a contours app either. We only have 5 or 10 foot DNR contours. We recognize that currently there's other apps out there that do a good job with that contour game, but that's not our game. A lot of those apps, that's all they do. And so we're really trying to gather as much data for an angler as possible and really give them a head start out there. We say all the time, 10 years of information in 10 minutes. And really, you know, it's our goal to help you find these places and get you there and feel like you're a local, like this is a home lake to you. And yeah, I think it bears reminding that, yeah, your data is your data. That's, it's never going to go anywhere else.
Yeah. And I've heard the, people talk about the mapping too on there. I think that not very much though. I don't think it's a very deep conversation to have, because I think with most anglers nowadays, like we were talking earlier with the crappie fishing you've been doing, like,
yeah,
most of the modern day anglers realize that, like, when you go to a lake, don't expect to find all the fish you want to catch on one contour.
Totally. Yeah.
Like when you're studying a contour map, like looking for starting spots or maybe looking for like some juice or whatever, like at the end of the day, like good anglers, like successful anglers, like consistently, like it isn't the contours that you get stuck on. Like fish can be in a lot of different depths, but still on a pattern, like in an area might be like a sloping deal where they're in 8 feet of water or 12 feet of water. So like the exact depth that you contacted those fish. So when you're looking at contour maps, and again, I don't think that conversation has really gotten too deep, but I've heard that too. People say, well, I don't like the contour map on there, but yeah, like there's other places you can get more detailed contour maps. But really, if that's your biggest thing, like if that's your biggest hangup, I think you got bigger problems. I think you got to be a little fishier than that.
And, you know, on my boat, I've already got those contours. So like I utilize the app a little bit on water. I do it a lot on water for ice, all the time for ice, but I utilize the app primarily in the planning stages. And then when I'm on the water, I love checking the weather. I love making sure that I'm getting to the access appropriately. I kind of have my milk run of waypoints. And then a lot of times the boat graph takes over from there. Yeah. So there's a lot of ways to utilize this thing. And it doesn't necessarily have to be something that you're studying as your, you know, eyes peeled as you're ripping down the lake. That's not really the intention here.
Yeah. And it's a lot of stuff that we used to, this is the other thing that I love about it, is I actually get to use things because of the app and just because of the usability and how it's all in one place. This is like, I don't mind saying this, that like, I never really paid attention to satellite imagery before. I was still just so busy looking for fisheries data and net surveys and creel surveys and just looking for the fish, you know, it was just like figuring out the fish live there, that, you know, that consumed all my time, my garage fishing time so much. But now it's like, I've really actually kind of, that's been like my more fun obsession, is that the satellite imagery is definitely a thing that, because of the app, I'm so much more effectively, and really it's just, I'm just talking about how I'm just having fun with it. It's like, I don't even know how many fish studying satellite imagery has caught me yet to this point. that'll maybe be like a growing thing as the years go by. But I've had a ball, like, just learning more about that stuff, and it really makes me feel like I'm getting off on the right foot in some of these bodies of water. And I could go on and on.
Yeah, and it's gonna get better. And we're not gonna jack the price up on you. You get in now, and you're gonna get more states and more features as we move forward. And this will be a fun little experiment as we go. And I'm interested to see twists and turns of it as well, because the engineers will come to me and they're like, well, what do you think of this? I'm like, well, man, I didn't even think about it like that. That's awesome. So I'm learning as I go too. It's a fun roller coaster to be on.
Well, what else? We're kind of getting the updates on your career, getting the great fishing conversation, perfect for this time of year, stuff that I'm all about. But we are we're all doing really good on time, Joel. So I don't want to take up your whole day. But what else? What else do we got to touch on, man? With you, fishing wise, or maybe we got the in Wisconsin and Minnesota. We've got the openers coming up. You got any tips or opening day pointers or anything like that to get everybody jacked up?
Yeah, for sure. I have an interesting opener deal. I don't ever open on the same place, and sometimes I don't even fish, because typically by the time fishing opener rolls around, I have been fishing the Mississippi River for walleyes. I have been fishing sometimes a destination river fishery for walleyes. I've been crappie fishing like crazy, and some of my favorite lakes are a little jammed up that Saturday. So I'll go out on a Sunday or a Monday. And a lot of times I'm fishing for panfish during that time of year. Now, down here in the South Metro or like Southern Minnesota, the walleye fishing can be pretty good just depending on timing. And up north, again, depending on the time of year, it can be a little bit challenging. So I totally love the time-honored tradition, the folks that go up to the cabin and heck, maybe they get the dock in the water and they fish around. And some people, just love watching slip bobbers drop at evening on a rock pile, that kind of thing, or some shallow weed edges. But for the most part, I tend to look for weeds down here, really good aquatic plant growth. And in the southern part of the state, a lot of that's coontail beds that are starting. And in areas where curly leaf pondweed is kind of taken over, I am looking for some of the best edges of that too. It's not the greatest aquatic plant for fish by any means. And I would take cabbage and coontail over it 10 times out of 10. But in lakes where it's really taken over, it can still be where a lot of the life is happening. And so as I'm looking for developing weeds, I love it when it's clear enough where you can look down and see the condition of these things. But when you can't, side imaging is still a killer tool to kind of help you line up where these weed beds are and give you an idea of the condition of them too, right? Like, are they ragged and jagged and spindly, or are they full and lush and really kind of filling out as, that springtime and early summer sunshine is hitting those shallows? So a lot of times I'll spend the first part of any kind of opening experience, whether I'm fishing for panfish or whether I'm after walleyes, doing a fair amount of side imaging and looking up shallow for weeds and eliminating water. And I don't know, sometimes I think we just get too complex with it. But like, if you think about it, like when you're out in the ocean, man, those guys are just looking for life. That's it. They're looking for bait. They're looking for birds. They're looking for they're looking for any signs of life in that expanse. And I think sometimes, especially for opener, it's really about that. Like, I'm looking for clouds of anything. Is it bait? Is it developing weeds? Am I seeing birds in a certain area? Especially some of the springtime birds. It's unbelievable. Just life, where there is life, there will be fish. And I love using forward-facing sonar. It's a tool to learn, but I see way too many people driving around with a trolling motor on 10, getting whiplash, almost thrown out of the front of the boat, just eyes glued to that thing. And I still am a firm believer that some smart side imaging can totally narrow down and hone in your approach when it comes to forward facing. And so if you're one of those anglers that like, this is a new tool or a new toy and you're enamored with it, like, that's cool. That's awesome. Nothing against that or even for that. I'm somewhat neutral regarding the topic, but like, don't sleep on some of the traditional sonar and some of the side imaging to really narrow down your water and eliminate some water, so that, yeah, it's just, it makes for such a more enjoyable day on the water when you're, yeah, using those cheat codes to cut out motoring around time.
Yeah. Yep. Or just fishing dead water. Whoo. I've done a lot of that. I spent a lot of time trying to beat up a memory where there probably wasn't a fish within a half mile. Wrong time of year, wrong deal. Like, July and August memories don't bode well many times in April and May. Dude, I appreciate the time on this. I love getting these updates. I can't wait to do it again down the road to get some summer fishing in, whatever we got to do. But I just love it, man. I love the high-level fishing talk and getting an update on the Onyx Fish app. It's all good stuff, man. So anyways, close it out like we always do. If people don't already know, maybe how to find you, how to ask questions, or just, we kind of talked about some stuff already, but how do people find you or get a hold of you?
Most of all the things that I write are going to be in Outdoor News or in Fisherman, but also stored at www.joelnelsonoutdoors.com. And I keep pretty active with social media and some of the video and other project work I do. And you can check me out there at Joel Nelson Outdoors and also at Onyx Fish. That's becoming kind of a new hangout for me. I spend a lot of time there.
All right, dude. I appreciate it, man. I really do. I appreciate it.